This Thursday, 25th MLB betting predictions episode of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, we're also brought to you by our NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a chance to score a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app. Welcome, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, April the 24th. Currently 5:37 on the East Coast here to get into the 10-game schedule on Thursday. And Thursday means day baseball. And joining me here to help me break everything down on the diamond, got my guy here with me. It's Lante Smith. Lante, what's going on, my man? How you doing this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, man. Doing pretty good. This is, like I told you earlier, this is like my third time talking about these games. So ready for some new series. But all together, though, I think it's been a pretty good an interesting week for a lot of these teams. So looking forward to hopefully this being the last time we talk about these and ending on some winners.
Yeah, we'll have brand new series obviously starting on Friday here. Yes, so sir. Definitely excited for the new series kicking off this weekend between Friday and Sunday. So should be exciting. And, last games, obviously, like we mentioned, the rubber games, the getaway games, I guess we should say, for these 10 teams. Yeah, man, it's Thursday. You know, that means that'll be day baseball starting very, very early here. So it'll probably be a quicker pod than usual. So let's just dive right into it, man. Let's get into these games here. We'll start here with a 12:35 p.m. Eastern start with the Milwaukee Brewers. They are finishing up their series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Freddie Peralta gets to start here for the Brewers, and it'll be Mitch Keller on the mound here for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brewers a -122 road favorite, +102 on the money line for the Pirates. Total is set at 7.5 in this game here, Lante. Freddie Peralta, man, I have that ticket for him. Hopefully he can continue here against the Pirates. Ben, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, man. Like I said, like the last few shows, I think I just bet the Brewers in just about every game as long as it's properly lined, especially within this frame. And with Peralta on the mound, who's been going really, really well, one earned run or less in three of his four starts. He's going deeper in the game, six innings pitch in three of those four starts. He's not even allowing a lot of contact. And that's pretty big for a Pittsburgh team who's struggling to hit right now. I mean, in the last 10 games, they're batting right at 200. They lost six of their last 11. Peralta has been excellent on the road, only pitched at home once. So, he's battle-tested as far as early on in the season goes. Seven-plus Ks in all the starts. I'm going to be heavy on Peralta props, probably his outs and his strikeouts as well. Pittsburgh not hitting the ball well at all. On the other side, Keller's been okay. He's allowed four earned runs in three of his five starts, allowing a lot of contact. That's bad news for the Brewers, who have been raking as of late, which is not so much what we're used to seeing. I mean, 4.1 runs per nine in the last 10 on 8.3 hits. So they're hitting the ball really well. They play well on the road. And if I might just look at a run line as well, man, on the run line on the road, Milwaukee 9-5. So I like Milwaukee here. I would lean to the under, thinking that Peralta can kind of shut down the Pittsburgh offense, which has been pretty pathetic as of late anyway. So I think we could see like a 4-1, 5-2 type of game with Milwaukee winning by a landslide.
Yeah, quietly, Freddie Peralta now the second favorite in the National League for Cy Young Award winner right now at 5-1. You nailed it, right? Freddie Peralta has been absolutely outstanding to start the season. Four starts, 2-0 with a 1.90 ERA. Mitch Keller, I feel like for some of people, the jury's still out on him. I know he was pretty good at home last season, especially before the All-Star break, and after that, it kind of fell off for him. So I can really only look at the Brewers here with Freddie Peralta. He's given up at least two earned runs in every single one of his starts this season. He's allowed four in three out of the five starts. So, I'm with you here on the Brewers, -120 the run line as well. Get you some nice plus odds there. That number currently right now is at, let's see here, plus 142 currently over on DraftKings on their Brewers run line of -1.5. So, yeah, I could see the under in this game here as well. So 100% agree with you on this game between the Pirates and the Brewers. All right, Lante, before we do get to the next game, hey, NFL Draft is this week. In fact, it's on Thursday night, and the Sports Gambling Podcast has you covered all week with NFL Draft props, mock drafts, and their NFL Draft Watch Party. Tune in Thursday night on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page and hang out with the guys for the best NFL Draft Watch Party out there. I know my Texans don't have a first-round pick this year. Traded it last year, I think, but to the Cardinals. And obviously, that was a great deal with getting Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. But make sure you guys download the SGPN app for your free shot at winning a $100 SGPN gift card with the NFL Draft Bingo. Again, make sure you guys go to the app store, go to SGPN. You'll see that black and red logo. Just download the app and get your free shot at winning a $100 SGPN gift card with the NFL Draft Bingo. All right, let's go to the next game of the afternoon. Speaking of Cy Young favorite, we have the Cy Young favorite in the National League on the mound here. That is going to be Zach Wheeler. He is facing Cincinnati in this game. Nick Martinez gets a start here for the Reds. Phillies are a minus 155 road favorite here, plus 130 on the money line for the Cincinnati Reds. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here, Lante. And Zach Wheeler has come out and looked absolutely phenomenal for this Phillies team. And unfortunately for him, he's made 5 starts. He's allowed only 8 earned runs, but he has a 1-3 record. And the run support really hasn't been there for him. They lost his first 4 starts until they beat the woeful White Sox in his last start, did the Phillies here. But, I mean, there was a couple or 2 games in there where he had one bad start, you can say, against the Pirates. But other than that, he's been absolutely solid. Against the Reds in his career, he's 1-2 with a 2.98 ERA. Did face this team earlier this season. 6 innings, 1 earned run allowed, 10 strikeouts for Zach Wheeler in that game against the Cincinnati Reds. Meanwhile, on the other side, Nick Martinez, he gets started here for the Reds. He has a 4.76 ERA. It's kind of like a spot start for him, and maybe see the bullpen guys come in, because this is his 3rd start of the season. He hasn't made a start since the Saturday, April 6th game against the New York Mets. So, again, I think it's just another brilliant performance here by Zach Wheeler. If you want to look at the run line here, the one concern obviously is that he's going to get the run support in this game. Well, being in a hitter-friendly ballpark, that's for sure. And right now that run line for Zach Wheeler is, let me see here. Let me go over to another book because DraftKings doesn't have it up right now. Currently over on FanDuel, you could get this at plus 105 right now for Zach Wheeler on the run line. So I think he continues dominating, and I think he does get the run support here in this game here, Lante.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. He's coming off the 7-1/3 scoreless. I know it was against the White Sox, but listen, got to take the small victories when you can get them. 7-plus inning pitch in 2 of his last 3, and he shut down Minnesota at the beginning of the month. 1 earned run on 6 innings pitched. He had 10 Ks. So I'm gonna be looking at a K prop as well. He's had 8-plus in 3 of his last 4. Cincinnati has been known to kind of chase and strike out a lot, and they're actually hitting 177 in their last 10. I want to go under as well. The last 3 meetings have went under for this team, and with Cincinnati kind of being hit or miss as far as offensively and going against Wheeler, I mean, I don't know if they can get a lot of run support here. But the thing that worries me is if Wheeler can't go like 6, 5 2/3, 6, maybe even 7, their bullpen is horrible, man. Allowing 6 runs per 9 in their last 10. Allowing batting average of .260, and although Cincinnati's not hitting the ball well, I mean, if you go from Wheeler, you're pretty much downgrading to that bullpen lot more than what some teams would be doing. So I'm gonna lean with the under, man, take a shot with that. But I do like Wheeler props here, and I'll be with you on the Phillies. It's hard for me to trust Cincinnati right now, despite winning 7 of the last 11. I mean, they're hitting like under 200, so got to be due for a little bit of regression here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you bring about the bullpen there as well. then you probably just want to pivot to like the run first line for the Phillies in the first five.
Yeah.
Because that first five, it's probably going to be heavily juiced on the money line. So maybe a run line for the Phillies in the first five there, I think would be worth a look here as well. All right, let's get over to the next game on the schedule. We'll go to get back to my odd screen here. 1:10 Eastern start. Speaking of the woeful White Sox, they are in action against the Minnesota Twins in this game. Currently seeing the Twins are starting Bailey Ober and Michael Soroka gets a start here for the Chicago White Sox in this game. Lines are -245 in favor of the Minnesota Twins and +200 for the Chicago White Sox. Total is set at 7.5 in this game here. Long matchup between Soroka and
man, it's just Minnesota or nothing. You saw last. Oh, I don't know if you watched last night, but I just kind of had MLB beginning. Yeah, man, they let it go. And I had the Twins in like a parlay with a couple of other teams, and I was like lucky. It's completely lucky. I mean, they gave up like two runs in the top of the ninth. Minnesota did, and Buxton kind of tied it up, I think, in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, White Sox is just horrible, man. If anything, you just got to take the Twins on the run line, even though they're not getting a full nine at bats. I mean, the White Sox are just horrible. I mean, if they couldn't win that game last night, I don't know what to tell you here.
Yeah, it's I think tough is the lightly way to put it. If you are a Chicago White Sox fan, I don't know a lot of White Sox fan, but I mean, this team, I know Scott has mentioned as many times that they probably are on the road to losing 120 games this season. And we probably start seeing more guys start getting traded from this team for whoever is going to be left, you know, maybe at the end of May or maybe come trade deadline. So, yeah, it's going to be the Twins here for me. I'll just take them on the run line here. I know they're at home. Mm-hmm. You don't get all nine at bats, obviously, but I mean, this White Sox
might not matter.
Yeah, it might not matter, especially how bad the bullpen has been as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm on the Twins here as well with you. I'll take them on the run line here. All right, let's get over to the next game on the schedule. We'll go over to the game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals in this game. Currently seeing Jose Berrios getting the start here for the Toronto Blue Jays and Cole Ragans on the mound here for the Kansas City Royals. Currently the lines for this game, the Royals are a -120 home favorite, even money on the money line for the Toronto Blue Jays here. And the total is set at 8 in this game here. Lante, what do you think about this matchup between Jose Berrios and Cole Ragans?
Yeah, man, good pitching matchup. This is one of the better. This has been one of the better series of the week, and I think that I think we're going to see a pitcher's duel here. I think we're going to see not a lot of runs. Berrios has been outstanding. I mean, he's thrown almost 20 innings without allowing a run. Six innings pitching every start. Toronto's playing well. I think they're 7-4 in their last 11. I've been really impressed with them, especially on the road. I mean, they had the Yankees pretty much dead in a couple of games, and they kind of allowed them back into it to lose. And then last night they drew up. I think they were up late and then allowed like two runs late in the game and kind of blew that game as well. Which points me back to the bullpen ERA being just about 5. But they do hit lefties really well, 250 versus lefties. And Reagan's, I mean, he hasn't been good in the last outing. I mean, he didn't even make it out of the first inning. I mean, 7 earned runs versus Baltimore, 24 hits in his last 3 games. So he's not even allowing the ball to get out of the park, but people are just like mashing him because he hasn't allowed a home run in any of his starts, but he's allowed 24 hits. So if Toronto's bats can get going, especially at the top of that lineup, I think you might see Toronto win a low scoring game here. Moon, if I'm thinking maybe 3-2, 2-1. But the KC offense has been kind of fluctuating over the past few weeks. They're hitting 200 in their last 10, 279 on base percentage. The bullpen has been not that good overall, but in the last 10 games, they've been pretty good. But I think Ragans will go a little bit longer here and bounce back from that outing against Baltimore. So I think we see a low scoring game. I'm going to go under and I'm going to lean with Toronto.
Yeah, that's my favorite play. You nailed it. The under in this game, under 8 right now, currently over on DraftKings. So, yeah, this should be a great pitching duel. And I know TVDBJ also mentioned and get that he, Cole Ragans should also bounce back in this game here as well after his start last week in that game. So, yeah, under was a favorite play for me in this game. I'd lean with the home team here as well, but I don't like it as much as the under in this game between the Royals hosting the Blue Jays in the getaway game. All right, Lante, before we get over to the next matchup on the card here, let me tell everyone about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's ton of fun. Underdog is also available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada now. Customers get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up, and Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash, airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. And like I mentioned, Underdog is available in states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. Make sure to sign up with our promo code MLBSGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you use that promo code MLBSGPN. All right, let's keep it rolling here, Lante. Next game on the schedule here. Let me get back to my odd screen. We'll go over to the 2:20 Eastern start. The Astros, they are, and I put emphasis on ass, against the Cubs here. 2:20 Eastern start. Justin Verlander getting the start here for the Houston Astros, and Javier Assad on the mound here for the Chicago Cubs. Minus 125 in favor of the Astros with Verlander, and plus 105 on the money line for the Chicago Cubbies in this game here, Lante. As Verlander came back in his last game, which was his first start, I should say, against the Nationals last week, was pretty decent in that game. But again, this pitching staff, it's atrocious right now, and I'm not sure how much we can blame them because they're just dealing with so many injuries. Framber Valdez, they did get some good news. He's throwing a bullpen session either tonight or tomorrow, and he may be joining the Astros back on the weekend series. So another arm coming back. They're still missing Christian Javier, some more pitchers that are out for this team, but it's just not good right now for this Astros team. But Justin Verlander, their ace, is on the mound here against the Cubs, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been backing the Cubs all year, man. The Cubs have been really good to me. 8-3 at home. They won 7 of 11. Assad's been really, really good. 2 earned runs or less in all 4 starts. Not allowing a lot of contact. No more than 4 hits in any of those starts. He's been, like, electric at home. 1 earned run allowed in 10 innings pitched at home. But this might be a spot for your Astros, man. I mean, Verlander looked really good in his first start. It didn't look like they had a lot of limitations on him. But I'm curious to know, the thing that's keeping me off betting them as heavy as I want to is, are they going to, like, limit him? Now, they were saying that they were monitoring him, but he wasn't on a restriction. But so is that, like, kind of on a, like, inning-by-inning basis? Or do they have a plan? Or what's that look like for you?
I think, in my opinion, and the things that I've read, is that he probably either has a cap around 80 to 85 pitches or 6 innings.
Yeah. Okay. So because he threw 78 in his first inning, so that sounds about right.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. At least until he has maybe 4 to 5 starts under his belt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. You don't want to burn him out.
And then don't be surprised if they randomly put him on the 10-day IL with some type of soreness just to give him some extra days off. You know, as the season kind of progresses here, they've done that with Yordan a lot as well, trying to make sure that his hand injury doesn't resurface. But I think the time to back the Astros would be with Verlander on the mound. And you probably want to look at it in the first 5 innings, because like we mentioned, his cap is probably going to be 6 innings. And again, we know how terrible this bullpen is. I mean, they've allowed
that's why I asked that.
Yeah, so I would look at, if you want to back the Astros here, it's probably the first five innings run line, or if the money line should be a decent price here, especially since the game is around -125 on DraftKings. I do see that -134 over on FanDuel, but yeah, I would only look at it in the first five. Do not put your money on this team right now, full game, but first five for me in the Astros here.
Yeah, I'm going to go that way as well. But I thought Verlander looked really good. 50 of his 78 pitches were strikes, only four hits, two earned. I think one of those was a home run. So, yeah, not a lot of damage done for him. I just don't know, like, what's the deal with that? I mean, they're hitting 260 in the last 10 games, but they've lost 7 of 11. I mean, is it just strictly the pitching? Because, I mean, it seems like – or is it kind of like, okay, they have like a – they have a big game where they score a bunch of runs and then they kind of go and have two bad ones and then they have a good game. Is that kind of weighing their averages down? Because just metric wise, they look like a decent team, not the team that's lost 7 of 11. You know what I'm saying? 3-8 on the road. So is it just a matter of them being inconsistent? Is it the bullpen? Because, I mean, like offensively, they look fine. Just, I mean, metric wise. You know,
I mean, offensively, like, look, they're top four in most offensive categories. But I mean, know when it comes to the MLB, it's pitching. And I mean, last night was a prime example, 5-0 for the Cubs in the first inning. And that's, it's just a tough hole to climb out of, especially when you're putting yourself in a 5-run deficit in the first five innings. Offensively, yeah, like I mentioned, tops in most offensive categories. And if you look at it on the other side, pitching, it's a complete opposite, right? The starters have been bad. The bullpen has been bad, and a lot of it, like I mentioned, has been due to injuries with Valdez being out, and Hunter Brown has been a shell of himself. He hasn't been very good.
How much again, of it so, is Dusty being not being there? You know, how much
and I think that's a possibility there there as well, but also this team is a little bit older now as well, right? I mean, their window was from that 2017 to – I mean, I think the window is still there, but – I mean, 2017 was their first title. They won again, in 2022? Yeah. So that's like 5, 6, 7 years where a lot of these players that were the core guys on that team are that much older now. And some of these younger guys haven't just panned out yet for this Astros team. So one thing is going to have to be developing young talent in the farm system, or they're maybe going to have to go out and trade one of their star guys to get some young talent in and maybe turn this roster around, because the young guys right now, the Jeremy Pena's of the world after his rookie season just has not been very good yet. But we know that, you know, Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, those guys are still going to be great. But at the same time, a great team, like, and the Baltimore is a great example because they're set up for the next decade at minimum. Yeah. They still have guys in their minor league system, and they have very young guys right now on their major league roster. So they're going to be set up very, very well. And they're going to be a great destination for free agents as well. So that's something that I do need to get back to. But back to the game, yeah, I think we're both on the Astros' first five innings here.
Yes, sir.
With Verlander. All right, next game on the schedule, we'll go to a 2:35 Eastern start. That's going to be the Texas Rangers. They are hosting the Seattle Mariners in this game. I am currently seeing that it will be Luis Castillo getting the start here for the Mariners and Andrew Haney on the mound here for the Texas Rangers here. Lines for this game. Mariners are a -125 road favorite here, +105 on the money line for the Texas Rangers here. Lante, what do you think about this matchup between the Mariners and the Rangers?
Funny thing about it, man, the Seattle started out so bad and I had so much high hopes for them. So I was betting them like the first few weeks and they were just getting killed. And I kind of gave up on them. And what do they do? They win 8 of 11. They're playing a lot better offensively. They kind of got right. I think the offense kind of got right in Coors. They covered 8 of those 11 games. The bullpen's been solid. But of course, I haven't been on them. And then Texas, I think everybody on the network had pretty much, kind of the same scenario of how Texas would look. The hangover from the from overachieving. And I mean, I think it's been on full display. I faded them last night. They were coming back. They were coming back home from a 3-straight road series. They're under 500 at home in their last 11. The bullpen ERA is nearly 5. You know, that's something that haunted them last year. The offense was just so good that it kind of could overwhelm. I mean, it kind of could like oversee what they were doing with the bullpen. And then they got, some good pitching from Montgomery, and those guys at the top of the rotation, so they weren't getting into the bullpen as early as the numbers would indicate that. So offensively, man, they're hitting 224 in their last 10, which is not good for a team who's predicated on their offense. Haney, he's faced a tough slate of offenses. He's faced Houston twice, Atlanta and Tampa early on. So, I mean, that's brutal, man. That's a brutal set of offense. And he faced Tampa. I know Tampa's kind of reeling right now, but this is early on when Tampa, you know, was, you know, I guess projected to be a decent offense. He hasn't allowed a lot of hits. 11 hits in his last three games, but he's allowed 11 earned runs in that stretch. Do you think that's kind of a good regression candidate? Because, I mean, he's not allowing a lot of hits, but when he is, it's just converting into runs.
Contact, probably.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I was looking at his at his game log. Like, mm-hmm. he got shelled at home in a start by Houston, 6 earned runs allowed, but he only allowed 4 hits. So, like, I don't know if that's going to kind of regress back to where he's going to get some good look. But, I mean, Seattle's been hitting the ball pretty well. But the thing is, they're hitting 217 versus lefties. Although they're hitting 250 in the last 10, I think that'll play a factor here. So I'm going to be on the home dog here, Munaf. I'm going to go with Haney and think that Texas offense can get back going. I mean, they had a couple games to settle in, being back at home. I think they can go in. And Castillo's been – He's been better. He's been pretty good. He's still allowing a lot of contact, but he's allowed only 2 earned runs in his last 2 starts, and versus allowing 12 in the previous 3. So I do think Texas offense wakes up here. I'm gonna take the home dog. I'll take the home dog in the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Rangers here. I mean, you mentioned it perfectly that this should be an opportunity for Andrew Haney to bounce back in a positive way and. Like you mentioned, he's faced some of the best offenses in his first couple of starts there. So, I mean, when you go up against Atlanta, the Astros, who have pretty much owned you, in Tampa, who hasn't been that bad at all, and they've lost all 4 of his starts as well, right? But on the flip side, Luis Castillo, 3 appearances last year against his Rangers team, 0-3 with a 4.91 ERA. He had a 1 really good start in Texas, 7 innings. He only allowed 1 earned run, 5 hits, but they ended up losing that game. And again, you mentioned that the Mariners have not been very good against left-handed pitching. I think that might just be the difference in this game here. So I'm on the Rangers here. I like the plus price. I know it's very, very slight at plus 105 right now for the Rangers. But I think there's a good spot here for them to go up against the Seattle Mariners, who, again, have been very, very inconsistent this season, to say the least. All right, next game on the schedule will go to a 3:10 Eastern start. We've got the San Diego Padres. They are in Colorado to take on the Rockies in this game. And I'm currently seeing, let me see who's on the mound here. Randy Vasquez on the mound here for the San Diego Padres. And Dakota Hudson gets a start here for the Colorado Rockies. Padres minus 155 on the money line, plus 130 on the money line for the home underdog, the Colorado Rockies. Total is set at 10.5 in this game here between these two squads. And I'll start here with Randy Vasquez on the season. Let's see here. Pretty good start for him. He's had 1 start, which was last week against the Toronto Blue Jays. Ended up losing the game. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, but he did give up 4 runs overall. Meanwhile, on the other side will be Dakota Hudson for the Colorado Rockies. On the season for Hudson, 0-4 with a 5.06 ERA. He's allowed at least 3 earned runs in every single one of his starts. He's allowed 9 earned runs over his last 10 innings, 8 walks in that span as well. He's also allowed a home run in his back-to-back starts as well. So not sure how well Randy Vasquez can go along here, but I do think the Padres can put up runs in this game off of Dakota Hudson. So that team total was probably 5.5 with a 10.5 total for the Padres. I would maybe look at a 3.5 first 5 innings team total as well for the Padres here, Lante. I want to see a couple more starts out of Randy Vasquez before I can back him. But I do think there's an opportunity for the Padres offense to have some success in this game against the Dakota Hudson. Right now, 0-4 with a 5 ERA for the Colorado Rockies. So runs for me for sure for the Padres side here.
I got absolutely nothing in this game. No, right. I got absolutely. I mean, but I will say this though. I will say this that the I know you like the you made a good case for the over, and maybe that's why I was leaning under, just because the Rockies they've been playing under lately, even at home. And yeah. we all know what kind of park that Coors is, but they've been playing a lot of under. I think 8 of their last 11 have went under, and the Padres' offense inconsistent. Now, can they get right against the Rockies? Of course. So that's why I kind of laid off of it. But yeah, outside of that, like leaning under, I got nothing for you, man.
All right. I mean, you know, we don't have to have something for every single game. That's all right. But what we do have is, I know NFL's still away, but look, the NFL draft is happening this weekend. And when we're talking about the NFL draft, we start seeing windows and things pop up, and that gets you excited for the greatest sports handicapping contest in the world, in my opinion. Many may probably agree, over at the Circa Survivor and the Circa Millions and football contest proxy. If you're thinking of entering those two contests, but you don't live in Nevada, it's not a problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy. I've actually used football contest proxy personally before they actually came on as a sponsor of our show, and they're great. Matt and Tony, they do absolutely a fantastic job of being a proxy for you entering those picks. So all you got to do is hire them as your proxy if you live outside of Nevada, because you do need a proxy to enter your picks for you, unless you're rich like Lante and you want to fly into Vegas every week and put in your picks there for the Millions and the Survivor contest. But sign up in Las Vegas. You know, make a trip out during the summertime. I know it gets really hot, but you can find some good deals. But they can submit your picks for you as your proxy during the football season when it does start. So we've partnered up. They're the gold standard of proxies over at thefootballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off of the proxy fees. And all you got to do is go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. Make sure you use that promo code SGP to get $50 off of their proxy services. All right, Lante, we only got two more games here, man. Let's get over to the next game on the schedule. We'll go to the LA Dodgers. They are in the nation's capital to take on the Nationals in this game. Yamamoto getting the start here for the LA Dodgers, and it'll be Mackenzie Gore on the mound here for the Washington Nationals. Looking at the lines for this game, the Dodgers are a -192 road favorite here. +160 on the money line for the Washington Nationals. Total is set at 9 in this game here, Lante. What are you thinking about the Dodgers and the Nationals here with Yamamoto and Mackenzie Gore?
Yeah, I love the over in this game. I was going to go with Dodgers team total over. Well, I probably will be on that too, but just for official cases, I'll be on the over here. Mackenzie Gore, he goes along, like he'll throw like two really good innings. Like he had a 1-2-3 first inning, I think his last start, and he comes back and he allows like three in the second inning, then he kind of calms down and he'll maybe have like another 1-2-3 inning, and then he'll just allow more contact. Not going to be able to get away with that against this offense. And who plays better on the road, ironically. But I do think the Nationals can get to Yamamoto as well. And we saw, I think the Dodgers are probably the biggest, to me, Dodgers are the biggest surprise. They're just not what I envisioned them being. Now, of course, I didn't want them to be, you know, they're just too inconsistent. And I think a lot of that has to do with the pitching, which you talked about earlier with the Astros. I think they just don't have the consistent pitching at the top. You know, Yamamoto, he's just learning. I don't think he's been bad, but he hasn't been that good. I think they probably benefit more from Shohei being, you know, the pitcher rather than him being the hitter, because they didn't have enough offense. I just think they need a couple more. And Glasnow's been great, don't get me wrong, but it's going to take more than one guy. But I do think their offense can get to Gore. I think the Nationals can have their way. Offensively, they haven't been bad. They've been feisty. They were in the game last night, if I'm not mistaken. Was that last night? I know they got blown away in one game, but then they came back and played really feisty with the Dodgers.
Maybe that was last night, and then I think Ohtani hit that home run, I think, in the later innings yesterday. And it was like 4-1 victory for the Dodgers last night.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so I like the over here, 9.5. I think we can see, you know, 11, 12 runs. Most of those provided by the Dodgers, but I do like the over in this game, Munaf.
Yeah. Give credit to Patrick Corbin yesterday for how well he pitched against the Dodgers, only allowing three hits. He did have three walks, but didn't give up any earned runs to that Dodgers team. And we saw the start earlier this season where he allowed, I want to say three or four within those first five innings. But yeah, I'm with you. Again, I can't trust Yamamoto at this price about and how bad he's been through the first several starts here. I mean, the Dodgers have lost four of his five starts this season. And the lone victory was against the Cubbies back on April 6th, where he had that was probably one of his two best starts of the season. Five shutout innings against the Cubs. But you take a look at his last two starts, six earned runs allowed, 11 hits, 11 and 11 innings against the Mets and the Padres. And like you mentioned, this Nationals team, they've been feisty. And I do think that the Dodgers will put up runs in this game off of Gore as well. Gore did face this Dodgers team last season. The month of September, I believe he allowed, I want to say it was four runs within five innings here. Let me double check here. Yeah, four runs he gave up in four innings, and he allowed six hits. Three of those six hits, Lante, they were home runs by this Dodgers team. So, yeah, I think the offense breaks out in this game. I think the team total is probably where I would go for the Dodgers, and I agree with you, the over nine. I think that the Nationals contribute here as well in this game against the Dodgers as well. All right, last game on the schedule here. We'll go with a 7:05 Eastern start. The Oakland A's, they are in Yankee Stadium to take on the Yankees. Alex Wood getting the start here for the Oakland A's, and it'll be Nestor Cortez for the New York Yankees. Yankees are a -250 home favorite, +205 on the money line for the Oakland A's. 8.5 is the total in this game here.
Let me see. Okay, cool. Yeah, I had to make sure. Listen, I know you keep seeing me like stop the cam. It's because I'm trying to get the timestamps, and
I know what you're doing.
It's too small. Yeah, too fucking small, and I can't see it. So yeah, I don't want to look like a creep, like leaning in to like look at the camera. But yeah, man, I like the team total for Oakland to go under here. First five in full game. You can't trust the Yankee offense at all unless they turn into the Bronx Bombers of old, which I highly doubt. Especially not at home, where they've been inconsistent, the most inconsistent, and you would think it would be opposite, but it's not. But Cortez's last 15 innings at home, he's held opponents scoreless, and Oakland's offense is not good at all. Although they've been feisty as a team, and overall, I don't think that they'll be able to get it going against Cortez. They don't hit lefties that well. I think Cortez will shut him down. So I'm going with the first five and full game under for the game and for the Oakland A's.
Yeah, as much as I want to take the Yankees run line here, their offense is just not producing right now. And it's crazy to say. Yeah, that against when you have a lineup. I mean, Juan Soto's just been the one bright spot, but outside of that, Stanton, he got a hit yesterday. But other than that, Aaron Judge has been absolutely atrocious. So again, I need to see more of this lineup before I can back them here. But you mentioned that Cortez has been absolutely fantastic at home. I would lean towards a Yankees run line. I'm not going to bet it again because I don't trust the offense. If this offense was to be firing on all cylinders, which they could against Alex Wood. But right now I just can't until I see this offense turn around here. And again, this might just be another one run victory for the Yankees here. And that would cost me on the run line, especially when they don't get all nine at bats being at home. So this could be like a 3-2, 4-3 type of victory for the Yankees, something similar to what we saw last night against the Oakland A's, and Paul Blackburn on the mound there for the Oakland A's. So lean on the run line, but not going to be betting it until I do see this offense turn around for the New York Yankees. All right, so that was the last game on the schedule here. 10 games on Thursday. That will lead us to our lock and dog for this Thursday 10-game schedule. A lot of day baseball. You want to lead us off with your best bet? Or sorry, your loss, lock and dog?
Yeah, sure, I can. I'll make it fairly simple. I know Mal's happy about all this baseball that's happening on Thursday, unless he's like working a cocaine stripper-infested party or something like that he's normally does like once or twice
a week. There's a secret lock.
I think so.
About Malpa, we'll just keep it at that. I don't know, man.
Yeah. So I'll keep it with the lock.
Well, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. The game we just talked about, man. And I really love the under in that A's and Yankees game. I don't trust the Yankees offense. Have you seen the first? I didn't see a first five number. Did you see a first five under number?
Sometimes the books have it do posted. So which game? I'm sorry.
The Oakland and New York.
I think with the 8.5 total, it'll probably be more than likely 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going under that. I think the Yankees. I don't think the Oakland A's score at all in the first five. So if you want to take their team total under as well, I think that's correlated. I think Cortez is going to throw absolute gem, and all we need is a couple of runs, and the bullpen will come in and shut the Oakland A's offense down. So I'm gonna go with. I mean, I guess you can have all of these as the lock. I'm going Oakland A's team total first five under, full game under. And just the entire full game under as well. For the dog, I'm going to go to a game that we both like, man. A good spot for the Texas Rangers to get right at home with Haney. Seattle doesn't hit lefties well. They kind of, like I said, they kind of got back home, got settled. They're good to go. They got that loss out of the way. I think they come out strong with the offensive performance, and the offense hasn't been good at all. So I think they come back and bombs away on Castillo.
All right. I like it. All right, for my lock, it's over in the Dodgers at the Nationals game. I think it's an opportunity to day baseball, warmer. I do see 8.5 right now on FanDuel. I want to say if DraftKings had it at 9, but again, there's plenty of 8.5s out there. Yamamoto, man, like I mentioned, he's been giving up the runs at volumes. To the opposition, but I think this will be more so that the Dodgers are contributing to. I think Mackenzie Gore, like Lante mentioned, that there's the first couple of innings where he looks pretty good, but then he'll give up the walks, he'll give up the hard contact, and at that point, that's where the runs will start coming in. So the best number right now, 8.5 over on FanDuel as my lock. For my dog, it's more than likely going to be a run line here. Not a
don't whole do the Yankees, enticing. Whatever you said, whatever you do.
No, not Yankees. No, they're not even a plus price or minus 180 on the run line.
Oh, Jesus. What is the take back on Oakland?
Plus 1.5, minus 102.
Oh, okay. I thought I would bet that if I was getting plus money.
Damn, even the Twins are minus price.
Yeah, you gotta be after what happened last night, man.
Yeah.
And watch them, they're probably gonna get blown away tonight. Like Minnesota is probably going to blow them away tonight.
I think I'm going to go with the run line with the Philadelphia Phillies. It's at, and I hate giving out, it's plus 105, but there's nothing really enticing when it comes to plus odds right now. You know what? I'll change it to the Brewers. Let's go Brewers. I think Freddie Peralta has a great outing here against the Pirates. It's plus 136. That's a more favorable price because I think come Thursday afternoon or Thursday morning, that Phillies run line price will probably be at a minus price. So I don't want to give that out. That's not fair to the listeners. So I'll go Brewers minus 1.5 plus 136. I think I definitely have the better pitcher on the just really inconsistencies about Mitch Keller that makes me nervous in this game. But again, this Brewers offense season long has been really good. I know there's been a little bit of struggles there for them, but I think that they go along well here. I think they could win this game 4-2 at minimum, 5-2, something in that realm, especially with a total of 7 right now. They're probably thinking it's like a 5-2 type of game here in favor of the Milwaukee Brewers. So I'll give out Freddie Peralta minus 1.5 plus 136 on the run line against the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA MLB gambling podcast. Anything else, Lante, you want to mention before we get out of here, man?
Nah, man, I'm good. Hopefully we can get to the window. So good series coming up this weekend for sure. I was taking a peek at the schedule. We got some good intriguing matchups. Got a lot of teams with the top of the rotation coming up. So should be a good weekend. NBA, NFL draft, hockey playoffs, got the golf going soon. Yeah, man, it's a good time. Good time to be doing what we do.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's always going to be a good time with sports. A lot of sports going on, especially with playoffs going on. So I'll be back tomorrow at the same time, same place for the weekend card. I believe it will be Lante and Dylan tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it Scott tomorrow?
No, I think it's me and Scott tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You and Scott tomorrow. So we'll be back at the same time, same place. So look out for us then. Make sure you guys follow Lante on Twitter at XXLanteXX. You can follow me there as well, SportsNerd824. More importantly, make sure you guys subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast YouTube channel. Do us a favor. Hit that thumbs up button on the your way out as you're watching this live stream, and you know, throw in your lock and dog into that comment section. You know, we want to see what you guys are betting on as well. All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride.